Well, what a good day, and what a good emphasis for our church and for us individually. I have this presentation of the kids. So what else would you preach on today other than Jesus and the children? Seems a good day to talk about our responsibilities that are God-given responsibilities. Children are a heritage of the Lord. We're entrusted with their care, and we're responsible to Him for how we care for them. We have a great emphasis on children here at the home place. A lot of things gravitate around the nursery, and then we have the Sunday school. Now we have Super Church, with Children's Church combined with Master Club, and that's where they are today. The kids are out there. And the workers that work with them, trying to do something special for the kids on Thursday night and teaching them different instruments and musical instruments and introducing them to all kinds of instruments and learning to play some of the instruments and the principles of the instruments in Children's Music Academy, we call it. And we're going to see that in the month of March. They're finishing this quarter of study of these instruments, and then they'll switch to different instruments in the next quarter. Teens are vested in this church in a very real way. We do not have a separate group of teens that are not involved in the church in total. They're involved in the church in total. They sing in the choir. They play in the orchestra. Of course, there is a teen singing group, and they have their own Sunday school. They have their own Bible study on Thursday night, and they have their own activities because their activities are a little different than adult activities, and that's okay. There's things that they enjoy, and that's all right. That's okay. That's glad for them to have that. I wonder in the auditorium today, of course, a lot of them are not in here. But I wonder how many in the auditorium today are 20 years old or younger. 20 or younger. Stand up, would you? If you're 20 or younger, stand up. All around. And a lot of them are not in here. But thank you. Thank you. These are mostly teenagers that are in here. Good. That's good. Yeah. We're preparing to build a new building. It's going to affect the entire ministry of the church, but it's going to dramatically affect the younger ones of the church. And it's okay to make that kind of investment in the younger ones of the church. It's all right to do that. We should do that. Most people who are saved got saved before they turned 20 years old. Most folks who are saved got saved before they were 20. How many of you were saved? You're saved, and you were saved before you were 20 years old. Would you raise your hand? That shows you the value of the investment that we make. We turn today to Mark chapter 10, and I titled the sermon, Jesus and the Children. Although there's some other things involved in it, it particularly focuses on Jesus and the children. Mark chapter 10. I'm going to read the four verses, 13 through 16. This particular occasion in the life of Christ is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's the kind of occasion that you would think would be recorded in John. It's a tender occasion. It's a beautiful picture. You would think that would be in the book of John. But rather than being in the book of John, it's in the other three Gospels, the Synoptics. And I choose it from Mark to, you have to choose one of them, so I've gone to this passage today. Verse 13, Mark chapter 10. And they brought young children to him. Now, the young children, the term there, another place that records it as infants, and another place, young children, they were not just little ones like we've had here today, but children that were more grown than 2 years old, probably, which is what you had in here today, two and under, two or three and under. And so it was little ones, little ones. They were bringing little ones to him, that he should touch them. Now, the touch that it's talking about there is the touch of blessing, that he would literally lay his hands on them as a token of a blessing. It was not an uncommon thing to be done then. It's not an uncommon thing to be done now. All the way back in the book of Genesis, we have Jacob doing that as he blessed the children of Joseph, as he blessed the little ones. And all the way through, you have that type of thing with the little ones. But they brought these ones to Jesus for that. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. Now, there are not many things in the New Testament that you find Jesus, where Jesus was much displeased. Now, he was much displeased with money changers in the temple. He was much displeased with hypocrisy and religious leaders. When this took place, it says he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer. Now, it's not a pain and agony. It's permit, allow the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. Now, I know Jesus didn't speak English. He could have had he wanted to, but he didn't speak English to them. They wouldn't have understood him. But when he spoke to them, I think those words were very distinct. If he was much displeased, I don't know about you, but when I'm much displeased, it inevitably shows in my voice. It shows in my expression. One time, Becky called one of the boys, said, come here. He said, I can't. She said, why? He said, Daddy's not through looking at me yet. You know, you give certain instructions and then you look. And I wasn't through looking at him. And so he had to wait till I got through. But I think Jesus said, and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And after that, much displeased, it turns to this. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands on them and blessed them. From the sternness of dealing with the disciples to the tenderness of dealing with the children. First of all, I want you to see the desire of the parents. They brought the children to Jesus. Now, they brought them to him desiring a blessing, that he would touch them, that he would bless them, that he would pray for them, that he would pronounce a blessing upon the children. They wanted their children to be associated with Jesus. That's a noble thing. They did not leave that to other people. They did not leave that to the pastor. They did not leave that to the church workers. They did not leave that to the nursery workers or the Sunday school teachers. They brought their children to Jesus. What a worthy example. It's amazing to me. We've just come through Christmas season. It's amazing to me how people will fight and claw and clamor and wait and go through all kinds of stuff to get their kids to Santa Claus. But they won't do anything about getting the kids to Jesus. I mean, if they get in line, it doesn't make any difference how long the line is. They may complain about it, but they're going to stay there till it comes their turn. Sit on that fella's knee and tell him all this list of stuff you want for Christmas, or cry and be scared or whatever it is. Get the picture done. I'm going to get my kids to Santa Claus. Would to God there was a determination to get our kids to Jesus. Now, the little ones are not in here, so I'll go ahead and say it. They can sit on that old man's knee dressed in a red suit with a white beard and tell him all kinds of stuff, and there's not a thing in the world he can do about it. But I'm going to tell you what right now. If you get them to Jesus, Jesus will make a difference. He'll make a difference. Our priorities are just upside down. 180 degrees. They brought their children to Jesus that He should bless them. I want you to see then the defect of the disciples. And this is pretty much where we fit in. Now, I want you to know these were the disciples. These were not wicked men. These are not men who were greatly sinners. They were not people who had no knowledge of God. They were not people who had no knowledge of the Word of God or the will of God. They were disciples. They were the ones who walked with the Lord Jesus Christ. They were the ones who spent time with Him. But they had a defect in that. Because when these parents, obviously parents, were bringing their children to Jesus, they rebuked them and said, No. Don't, as another gospel records it, don't trouble the Master. Don't trouble the Master. Don't let Him be bothered by these children. It's easy to get bothered by children. Even as disciples, it's easy to get bothered by children. Now, I know our dear people, and there's a place in that thing in the bulletin. There's a place you put on there about singing in the choir, playing an instrument, helping the audiovisual ministry, cleaning the church. We clean this whole place with volunteer people. And sometimes children can be a little upsetting when you clean the church. Sometimes there's paper torn into shreds and dropped around. And sometimes there's notes and everything like that. Sometimes there's other things that have to be dealt with in cleaning. Heard about an old fellow that cleaned the church, and he came to a place. And he saw this place, and he saw certain things and certain markings. Candy wrappers, perhaps, and maybe some other things that just evidence. And he thought to himself, a boy sat here. It was a boy who sat here. Now, it could have been a man acting like a boy, but it was evident that a boy sat here. And sometimes, and I'm not for kids making messes. I'm not for that at all. I if you sit in a particular, to the young people I'll say, if you sit in a particular area all the time, around a particular place all the time, if you're going to write in a hymnal, you better sit in different places. Because if I see a hymnal written in where you sat, I'm going to know it was you, and I'm going to be calling on you. Don't do that. Don't do that. Well, I just somehow, well, stop it. Just quit, okay? Don't do that. Don't do that. But whenever you have people, you have things like that. Whenever you have kids, you have certain things you have to deal with. You know that at home. You know that at home. Some things you miss and some things you don't miss about kids being at home. You don't too much miss, you know, the messes that have to be cleaned out of the carpet or off the floor or off the table. You don't miss that too much. Sometimes you miss the handprints on the refrigerator. Some things you do miss. But the disciples thought that Jesus would be disturbed by children. They thought that the children were too little for him to mess with. And sometimes, as pastors, and sometimes as adult Christians, if we aren't careful, children will get the idea that we don't care about the little ones. One of the last instructions my mama gave us before she left to heaven, one of the last instructions she gave to us when she was really conscious and aware of the communication, she said, take care of the little ones. Take care of the little ones. What a Christ-like spirit. But the disciples didn't get that. They misunderstood. They misunderstood the vision of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they misinterpreted the purposes of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus knew those little kids would grow up. I really do want our young people of this church to know that as they were growing up, they had a pastor that cared about them. I'd like them to know that they grew up in a church that cared about kids, that liked them. I don't mean tolerated their wrongdoing, and I don't mean approved of their disobedience. But I mean they knew that as kids growing up, they were in a church where people loved them. Little boy walking by a church one morning many, many years ago in the 1800s. He was walking down the street of Chicago and a man was standing outside the church. And he said, where are you going, son? He said, I'm going to church. He said, well, where are you going? We got church here. He said, I'm going to Mr. Moody's church. He said, well, why are you going all the way over to Mr. Moody's church? He said, because they love a boy over there. May that be true of this church. May it always be true of this church that we have the heart of God for children. Let us not miscalculate the value of children. I often say to people, and sometimes I say it here, treat the youngsters nice. Treat them nice. You don't know who they're going to be. You know, you're X age, you know, you need to treat the little ones nice. Treat the kids nice. Treat your children nice. You know, they're going to pick what rest home you go to. So, you need to treat them nice. Be kind to them. Quickly, I must go on. I want you to see, as I've already mentioned, the displeasure of the master. The displeasure of the master. He was much displeased. The word really means indignation. He had indignation. He was upset with them. He was not happy at all whenever he saw what they were doing. Now, we ought to always please the Master. And in pleasing the Master, this is one thing that it seems obvious in the Word of God that He calls attention to, is that we treat the kids right.
His heart is for the children. He sees the value of the children. He knows what they're going to be when they grow up. And whenever he saw the disciples acting toward the parents of those children and affecting those children in a negative way, he said, stop that. Stop that. Forbid them not. Forbid them not. Suffer the little children to come to me. Allow that. It seems as if you just get out of the way, the kids will come to the Lord. Children are so sensitive and they're so tender. They have such a desire to please and such a desire to be accepted and such a desire to have approval. And really, they have a desire to have an approval from God. And we must not stand in their way. We must not put a roadblock between them and Jesus. We must not do that. Now, I know we set all kinds of standards that are not Bible standards, particularly about how old a child must be. And we get a lot of that from Judaism, from bar mitzvahs and coming of age and all that kind of thing. But we must not stand in the way of children. We said, well, you know, he's too young. Sometimes we have little ones respond to an invitation. You say, well, you think they know what they're doing? They probably know more than you think they know. But I cannot evaluate that. But the one thing I must not do, I must not keep them from moving toward God. I must not discourage a movement toward God. You say, well, I know a kid that, you know, man, he went forward at church and then he'd go forward again and then he'd go forward again. Did you know me as a kid? I did that. Why? Because I had a heart for God. I wanted to please God. And I responded, I mean, boy, if an evangelist would preach and he said key words, which I don't use because it can be confusing and how good or bad was exposed to that kind of thing. But if he wanted somebody to respond to an invitation, man, I'd respond. I'd walk the aisle. I mean, I was ready to go. If he called for a decision, I was going to make some decision. I didn't know maybe all it was all about. But I knew, and I knew I wanted to please God, and I appreciate that my parents never corrected me for that. They never said to me, John, you need to get over that. You just need to stop that. You need to get that thing settled. And you know what? I did get it settled. I did get it settled. But they never deterred me from moving toward the things of God. They encouraged that in my life. Now, they didn't encourage an unstable relationship with the Lord or anything like that. They simply wanted me to follow God. Encourage the kids in the things of the Lord. He was displeased. He did not like it at all. His desire was for the children to come unto him. And whenever that took place, we don't have time to discuss it, not going to take the time to discuss it here. But he uses that occasion, to give a doctrinal truth. Now, he did not give this to the children. The children heard it. But whenever he was speaking to the disciples. And he said, unless you enter like a child. You see, we want the children to come to God like an adult. God wants the adults to come to him like children. Children come trusting. Children come believing. Children come accepting. They don't have to have all this 1, 2, 3 all lined out, everything like this. They have, now I'm for reasonableness, and I'm for the reasoning of the Word of God and the way it's presented. I'm for that. But children don't demand that. They don't say, well, can you prove to me the Bible is the Word of God? You never heard a kid say that. Can you prove to me God? No kid says, if God loves me, why did my mama beat me? Kid doesn't say that. They just come to God believing God. And the quicker those of us as adults would get like that, to where we would just trust the Lord and believe the Lord and accept the Lord and come like little children. He said, if you don't come that way, there's no other way here. You come that way. We come by faith. We don't come by winning an argument. We don't come because somebody convinced us of the reasonableness. We don't come. We come by faith. That's the demand our Lord gives. The demand our Lord gives. He says, you let them come to me, and you forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. And except you come in that way, you will not receive the kingdom of God. If you don't receive it like a child, you're not going to enter into it. Just receive it like a child. And then I want you to know what Jesus did. The deed of the Savior. I want you to look, what a beautiful picture. Now, this is tender. This is as tender and as God-like an evidence of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. After the parents come, the disciples rebuke the parents. Jesus rebukes the disciples. And then he teaches them the truth. After he gets that done, he turns to the children. And he says, come here, son. Takes him up in his arms. Puts his hands on him. And he blesses him. I don't know what he said, but he must have said something like, Father, protect this young lad. Walk with him and be with him. Help him to always love you and be near you. God bless you, son. God bless you, son. Ah, what a beautiful little girl. Where did you get those pretty eyes? Ah, you look like your mama. God bless you, sweetheart. I want you to know God loves you. God cares about you. And he put his hand on her and blessed. And you go. Fast forward 45 years. Fast forward 50 years. Sitting in the home, little baby comes, little grandchild. Says, come here. Sit on granddaddy's knee. I want to tell you about something. You know, we've heard the Apostle Peter preached about Jesus. You remember hearing him down at church? Did you hear him preach about Jesus? Yes, Papa. I heard him. I want to tell you something you don't know. Whenever Papa was about your size, my parents took me to see Jesus. And he set me on his knee, and he held me in his arms, and he put his hand on my head, and he blessed me. You, Papa? You met Jesus? I did. I was just a little lad. I was just a little lad when I met Jesus. But my parents took me to Jesus. And I'm so glad that I let your parents meet Jesus. And I'm so glad that your parents have let you meet Jesus. I was a preacher's kid. Okay? You know the reputation.
of preacher's kids. They say preacher's kids are the worst kids in the church. That's probably true. But you know why that is? Because they have to play at the deacon's kids. And I'm sure there were people in the churches that my daddy pastored that looked at little Johnny as a spoiled, rotten brat, which he was. If you don't believe that, ask my sister. She will expound for a long time on that. And they thought, there's no hope for that kid. There's no hope for that kid. But God loved me. And though I didn't always express it in a good way and in a right way, and though it always didn't come out the way I wanted it to come out, the way it should have come out, I loved God. I loved God, and I wanted to serve Him. I just simply want to say to you today, the words of our blessed Lord, suffer, allow, permit, even encourage the little ones to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know where your kids are. I don't know if you know where your kids are. There's some of you sitting in this auditorium who give anything that you could in the world to know where your kids are. I know that. I know that. And that's for various reasons. I encourage you to pray for your kids. I encourage you, if you cannot physically take them to the Lord, take them to the Lord in prayer. And if you do know where your kids are, take them to the Lord in prayer. And if your kids are still at an age where you have the authority to take them to where they can come to know the Lord. See to it that they are there. You cannot make decisions for them, but take them there. You say, well, preacher, I'll tell you one thing right now. Whenever I was a kid, I had to do this and I had to do this. And I just, you know, the church I was in was just a bunch of hypocrites and they acted like they loved God. They didn't love anybody else. Well, then why don't you correct that? Maybe someone failed you when you were a kid. Don't use that as an excuse to fail your kids. Use that as a challenge from God to you to get kids to Jesus. And in this church, find a place. Whatever else you do, find a place where you can have an impact on kids if it's nothing more than being an example to them. Work in the nursery. Help in super church. Help in a Sunday school class or teach a class. Work with activities. Teach a good news club. Help out with fellowship Christian athletes. Whatever you can do, find a way to affect the next generation and the one after that. Let's stand together.